very warm welcome to everyone this morning. Welcome to the Standing Committee on Community Safety. This is one of the more important meetings of the parliamentary calendar, where we have to discuss vote for the budget of the Department of Community Safety for the upcoming financial year. I'd like to welcome the Department of Community Safety, welcome Minister, HIV and team. We also would like to welcome the Liquor Authority and the CEO, Dr. Mdumielwa, and your team. We also have officials from other provincial government departments present, as well as representatives from the Parliamentary Monitoring Group, the Auditor General, as well as members of the public. You're warmly welcomed. We haven't received any apologies. Are there any other apologies from members or from the departments present? None. Okay, no apologies received. All right, so we'll start with some brief introductions. My name is Mireille Wenger, and I'm the chairperson of the Standing Committee. To my left is our very able Mr. Matthews, our committee coordinator, and to his left, the very who's assisting us with logistics and Mr. Hansard. I'll ask the members to introduce themselves for
record purposes. Thank you, Chair. Good morning, everybody. I'm Basil Tevido.
Kwemorama, Dylan Mitchell.
Good morning, Minister. Would you like to introduce yourself and your team, please?
Good morning, Chair. Dan Plato, and I think our officials can introduce themselves. Thank you.
Good morning, Mohammed Riefler.
Good morning, Chair. Gideon Morris, Head of Department.
Good morning, Lindy Governor, Chief Director, Management Support.
Good morning, Yashina Pillay, Chief Director, Secretariat for Safety and Security.
Hi, good morning, Simon George, Program Lead for Security Risk Management.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Bertrand Noble, Finance.
Morning, everybody. Maria Foss, Finance.
Hi, good morning, everybody. Director, Strategic Services and Communications.
Good morning, Victoria Lesualo, WCLA CFO.
Morning, Luzukum Tuniela, Western Cape Liquor Authority.
Would other representatives just come forward and introduce yourself in the microphone, please? Just for record purposes. We'll start with you, ma'am. Thank you.
Josh,
We also have two members that have joined us. If you'll introduce yourselves, please.
Morning, my name is Trudy Pizana.
Good morning, my name is Pat Lucas.
Thank you, everyone. Just a note, we do have translation services, so please feel free to speak any of the three official languages of the Western Cape, whichever of the three you feel most comfortable with. Members, I'm assuming that everyone has gone through all the documentation prior, so we will be dealing with the budget in the blue book, and this can be cross-referenced with the APPs. So if you have a question that relates to the budget in the APP, please feel free to pose questions on both simultaneously, but we will be doing page by page of the blue book only with reference to the APPs, should you so wish. Then without further ado, I'll hand over to the MEC for some brief introductory remarks.
Chairperson, thank you very much. Thank you for the opportunity to address you. I immediately want to say I phoned you this morning. There is one or two pressing issues in some communities that need my urgent attention, and within the next half an hour to 15 minutes or so, and after questions are posed to me, I would love to leave. I believe that the Department of Community Safety are doing well over the last couple of years. I think we are adhering to sound financial practices, and I think that is always the cornerstone of each and every department, how they deal with the finances in general. I am not going to refer to audits and things like that. I think that is very, very close to everyone's heart. That is what the public out there want us to do. We will therefore continue to fulfill our mandate. And I think that is the other very important issue for us as a state department. Unfortunately, We cannot do what the police are doing, and I need to link what I'm saying also to what's happening in many, many of our communities, but we support our police officers as far as we can. Major problems we're facing is the mayhem you see in some areas out there, and we align our budget to allow our reaching our teams to do our best in many, many of the pressing communities. Yesterday I had a wonderful meeting with the senior staff in just talking things through and to deal with some of the pressing issues we are facing. But looking at the liquor authority with us this morning, another highlight. I think the working relationship with the liquor authority and the CEO very, very well. Looking at the continued collection of revenue and looking at the board structure, we are getting there in seeing that our entities such as the Liquor Authority as well as the Chrysalis Academy also adhere to sound financial practices. And I want to thank Dr. Udaluwalda for a job well done in that respect. I also want to say that our staff very dedicated under the leadership of Gideon Morris, and we try our best to spend the money of this Western Cape government to the best of our abilities. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Minister. And Mr. Morris, would you like to add on or make some other introductory remarks on the budget?
Okay, maybe just on a technical level, as you may have noted, there's a total increase in the budget of 12.4 million. A significant part of that increase is then the increase of the national conditional grant for EPWP. And as you know, this is done on performance of the previous year. So I think it's another, the youth work program that's linked to the Chrysalis placement. We have achieved so well on it that they have more than doubled our allocation on the EPWP. Minister has not referred to that, but we are under strict instruction, Chair, then to start looking at how do we channel some of the money then also to the newly accredited neighborhood watch structures. And that would then be where we then start this year with a payment for performance model, similar to what we do with the community police forums, but we then start funding the activities of the neighborhood watches. So I think, Chairperson, then also additional to that is the 2.5 million given to develop the provincial response to the anti-gang strategy. Remember, there's a national anti-gang strategy, and we are not developing a Western Cape strategy. We are developing a Western Cape response to the national anti-gang strategy. So, and that money has been earmarked for that purpose. Maybe just on that, Chair, but those are then the additional funds allocated to the department. The money allocated to the response onto the national strategy then also includes money for a high-level summit or conference that we plan for October, around about October, September, October, and that we hope then also to, at that time, increase the, for a lack of a better word, the intellectual muscle around the issue of gangs and the provincial response.
Thank you very much, Mr. Morris. Dr. Ndumdelwa, would you like to make some opening remarks?
Thank you very much. I'm not going to move away a lot from what the HOD and the Minister have said, save to say that we're very pleased with the support that we're receiving from the Department, and we're trying internally to sort of firm up our internal control systems and our financial management. And we've seen the result of that in terms of our increase in revenue, in terms of increasing the numbers of enforcement interventions that we've put in place. We are after acquiring the new functions from national government, we are looking at increasing our staff in terms of enforcement, because we're focusing more now on our upstream kind of prosecution dealing with the distributors who are distributing to illegals. So far, Chairperson, everything seems to be going well and our plans are seemingly coming together. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Members, are there any questions for Mr. H or D or based on the opening remarks? I see Honourable Mitchell, followed by Honourable Lecker.
Thank you very much, Chair. Thank you, Minister HOD, for the opening remarks, which is welcome. Chair, I have a few questions. I don't know if you're going to limit me.
I think pose two or three questions each, and then we'll see how it goes.
All right, cool. Chair, through you to Minister, and actually to Mr. Morris, with regards to the Neighbourhood Watch and the performance-based allocations now, what is the department going to do to ensure that the Neighbourhood Watches in fact do comply? Is there some sort of, not assistance, but making sure that tick boxes in bureaucracy with respect is not going to hinder money going to communities for that? Chair, then to the Minister, in your forward in the APP, you allude to the Khayelitsha Commission of Inquiry that is steadily the implementation of the recommendations are being made. Which recommendations are still not implemented, and what is the department doing to drive to ensure that all recommendations are in fact implemented from the Khayelitsha Commission of Inquiry? And then with regards to, in your last paragraph on the APP, you referred to reaching out to our youth, which is the cornerstone of the next generation and also the next leaders, and especially I'm now going to be biased and I'm going to go back to the rural communities of this province, and I think Member Dijana would support me in this. How many, or what's the target strategy to target the youth from Maritzburg right down, because Maritzburg is a fair country from the province, and many, many times these youth members feel that they have been lost or that they have not, they're not being noticed because of the distance through geographical spread. So what is the target strategy for, in particular, the youth of the rural Western Cape? And then also, based on that, if I can latch on, that we what is the amount of youth targeted in the last financial year, especially with regards to Chrysalis and EFT colleges? And if you don't have that information now, Chair, if we could possibly get that information. And if you could allow me one last question. With regards to the policing, and I know that the department's got an oversight responsibility with regards to SAPS, but more than once in your forward, Minister, you refer to, you acknowledge the good work that the police are doing, and that you support the police. So in your limited scope to provide assistance, bearing in mind that you have an oversight role, what exactly are you and the department doing to assist the police that very often have to work under very difficult circumstances? Thanks, Chair.
Thank you. Honourable Lecker.
Thank you, Chair. Let me welcome the officials from the department and the MEC. My first question, Chair, is exactly on what form of assistance has the Minister provided to us. The second one, Chair, is around the issue of if you look at paragraph 6 on the APP, I'm particularly
that's forward.
Yes. Okay. I'm particularly concerned, Chair, because I would like to understand exactly as to what are the programs that the department has formed in response to the issue of women and children in the province, which last year ended up with around 30 people that have been killed. And secondly, Chair, my question is on what exactly is the department doing in changing the picture that is depicted? If you're looking at tables 1, 2, and 3, so can we get exactly which type of the APP?
What page?
Page 18 to 21. So I want to know exactly what is the department doing to change that picture on its organizational environment. And
on the related,
yeah, on the input from the MEC, from the HOD and from Mr. Mdunyelwa. I'm particularly concerned, Chair, in relation to the alcohol harm reduction. It has been piloted in other areas, but I want to check, is there an evidence-based form of material that we can get since the program has been piloted? And I want to understand, lastly, around the issue of the pilot. If you're looking at Nyanga, Nyanga alone has plus minus 300 unregistered shipping. So if the program is to ensure that you reduce the alcohol, what has the department done in ensuring that you address those issues in Nyanga particularly? For now, I will pause there, Chair. Thank you.
Honorable Kivada.
Thank you, Chair. This question is directed to HOD Morris, Gideon Morris, making mention of the national anti-gang strategy, and that the Western Cape has no intention of developing or duplicating such a strategy, but actually a response to the strategy. I just wanted to know, because we have different dynamics, geopolitical and geographical and also sociological dynamics in all the provinces that we live in. So how are we going to, if you say a response to, do you take all these specific and peculiar and distinct and sometimes different dynamics and scenarios in our own province into consideration as well? How is this response being designed in terms of generics, or is it just a universal type of response? Because, let me say, and I end off with this, there are certain aspects, I'm talking about crucial dynamics that are authentic and authentic in this province, in the crime scene. Thank you so much, Chair.
Honourable Diana, close this round.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I think I'm highly covered by the other questions. My question is on the forward, the last paragraph, which says that the walking bus project across the province. I just want to know, when will this walking bus project be implemented in the rural areas? Because I understand that there's no walking bus in the rural areas. Thank you.
Thank you. Minister, there's quite a lot of questions over to you.
There's one or two questions posed to the ICD, but let's do justice to all of them. I think ICD will be in a much better position to talk about the compliance issues mentioned by Honourable Member Dylan Mitchell. I'm going to leave that for the HOD to deal with. With regard to the Khayelitsha Commission, I've inquired all the recommendations. We are busy implementing them. I think there was questions in the past specifically around Recommendation 12. And we are busy implementing Recommendation 12 quite successfully. We are working very, very closely with almost all the structures in Khayelitsha, also including the South African Police Services, State Departments involved, and I can safely say that I'm quite happy with the progress in that regard. With regard to our youth, look, there's a lot of focus on the youth. In my intro, I did make reference to a strategic meeting I had yesterday with the senior staff, and most of the staff sitting there next to me, also about that particular issue. That was my issue yesterday. The communities out there request from us to do much more. Within our limited powers, we can only do that much. But the issue was, it is our youth that's getting killed on a day-to-day basis. Even if you open the newspapers this morning, it's 16 years old and 19 years old, and it is just not stopping. And my question to the staff yesterday was, with what we are doing now, what else must we do? And what else can we do? Tonight I will be in Saldanha, also addressing the youth of that area with the neighborhood watches and CPFs. Your question about rural areas, tomorrow I will spend time, I think tomorrow and Thursday I spend time in Oudtshoorn and surrounding areas. And we do have a program to reach out to many, many more rural areas in the province. I think I did visit the Beaufort West area already, Mariesburg, Nelspoort and so forth. And I think I also did receive requests from Vredendal, Lutzville and those areas, specifically to focus more on the youngsters in the communities, because looking at our incarceration centers, it is full up with our youngsters, and we need to get the youth out of there. Our projects, our programs, our reaching out programs, our FET college agreements, and things like that, it is still in place, and we will continue driving that. I think there will be a major focus on youth months. I even touched on that with the senior staff yesterday to make sure our budgets for youth months is in place so that we can reach out to as many youngsters possible, thousands and thousands of youth over that youth months period. Then the amount of youth, I think it is in the region of just over 1,000 per annum. That is now what the Chrysalis Academy produced to us. I don't have the exact figure for you, but I think one intake for 3 months, we can only accommodate, if I'm not mistaken, in the region of 190 plus minus youngsters. Answer of you, you might have a better figure than I have. Gideon, the figure?
I just passed it on. Of course, the Chrysalis, we have just concluded an agreement with them that they'll increase the intake by 100 youth per year. So that brings their total to 640 youth that is then placed through the Chrysalis program. And if I may just also emphasize that each and every one of that youth, 100% of them, are then taken up in the work placement program. We do provide recruitment criteria to the Chrysalis Academy. We don't tell them who to recruit, but we do give them targets for each area. We don't have the detail with us now, Chair, but we will then forward that to the committee to note.
And again, just to link it back to the question about the rural areas, I know, because I was instrumentally involved in that, to make sure that a sizable amount of rural youngsters gets taken up in the program. We do have, remember, Diana, youngsters from Beaufort West, youngsters from Merivale, youngsters from Lanesburg currently now in the program, and we made sure we get them in one or another way to Cape Town, because they are poverty stricken. They will never be able on their own to reach Cape Town and to enroll into the program. We even made sure about that, and it is done. With regard to some other questions, the good work police are doing, and all the problems and issues we're facing with SAPS, I want to say from the onset, we can't do what the police are doing. We can't arrest, we can't investigate, we can't take a matter, a case to the court. But we assist the police in many other ways. Police is part and partial of what's happening at the Chrysalis Academy. They're part and partial of our reaching out programs. Tonight, when I addressed the CPF Neighborhood Watches with the mayor, and the mayoral committee in Saldanha with many, many youngsters, SAPS will be present, and they confirm that to us, to my office already. With regard to all our interventions, we're doing it in conjunction with the South African Police Services, and they welcome what we are doing. In turn, Chairperson, SAPS can't do what we can do, and that is how we complement one another.
Member Lekker, with regard to your issues, is exactly what I'm saying. Assistance to SAPS programs. I think you must be aware of last year Women's Month. We had with many NGOs, about 15 recognized NGOs in the Western Cape, with SAPS, with the Human Rights Commission, with the National Gender Commission, and senior officials from that National Gender Commission did fly from Pretoria to join us for the duration of the Women's Month interventions. It was highly successful. We did get our message across. We could unfortunately only manage to reach out to about 15 communities, not more than that. That is what the month time span allow us to do. But yesterday my message was clear. We need to start with a planning for this year's Women's Month outreaches as well. We must continue getting that message across into the public out there. And we hope we can muster many more NGOs and interested people in the communities on board in this drive. I think it's the right thing to do. With regard to changing the picture, with regard to the drug-related crimes, Friday passed at our MINMEC meeting with the new National Minister of Police, in his intro remarks, he identified drugs as one of the major headaches for SAPS nationally. The drug problem we are facing in the Western Cape is not evident to the Western Cape alone. It's a national problem. The minister has said, it's, according to him, it is a national crisis, and that crisis cannot only be fought by only the provinces alone. National intervention is needed, and I welcome his remarks in that respect, and I did so verbally as well to say to him I will support him in his drive, because I immediately recognize he recognized that the problem in the Western Cape is very, very big, and the drug figure countrywide is just getting worse and worse. So it will take time, but SAPS needs to continue to arrest. I need to say, pertaining to the Western Cape, there was good arrest, lots of raids and drugs with millions and millions of rands confiscated. It's not to say police are doing nothing. They're doing their level best. But at the end of the day, the question needs to be asked. How is it that we all are the state and government, government as a whole, allow the amount of drugs flowing into the country? It's coming from over the borders. It's coming into South Africa, and we need to stop it there in its tracks. But that is unfortunately not happening. That is why we will continue to be a bit reactive, and we are not proactive enough in that respect. With regard to alcohol harms reduction, I think the CEO can say a lot about that. But I think with regard to looking at the pilot communities, I think the reports is available, their successes. My initial response at the time was we will not immediately see immediate massive progress. It was last year, the previous financial year, most of the alcohol harms reduction drives was in its infantry shoes, in its baby shoes. We learned a lot of lessons. Even lessons in Chicago, Fairyland, in Paul, but also Khayelitsha Town too, and massive lessons also in Nyanga, and that will have to continue. The major breakthrough for us will be, and we will want to be very, very careful in that respect, to close down hundreds and hundreds of shipyards. And I'm glad the Honourable Member Lekker mentioned the over 300 unlicensed shebeens in Nyanga. And when government begin to touch that, the issue was, it is our business. And I remember one evening when we had to walk about in Nyanga, the resistance was immediately massive. We were thrown with stones, we were thrown with bricks and that sort of thing. And there's people, they don't want government to touch their business. They don't want government to touch their economy. I mention it down here because there's a call. We need to be more forceful, but we need to be aware of the other side of the coin as well. But the administration do have all the evidence, and they must provide the necessary evidence. I think with regard to the gang strategy, Mr. Morris is intimately involved. He can speak with more conviction about that. And with regard to the dynamics and et cetera, et cetera. I think that is from my side. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Minister. HID?
Chair, if you can also just guide us. I don't want to over-answer the questions. I know that your time is very valuable. So let me just run through it from my side. As Minister has said, on the neighborhood watches, what are we doing to ensure compliance? Now, Chairperson, I think the important part is that there is a norm against which we can measure compliance. Because remember, before there was no legal framework for neighborhood watches to operate. We now have a legal framework which includes a code of conduct as well as some, as the Honourable Member spoke about, the tick boxes. That is now articulated in the Act, what is required from the neighbourhood watches, and we have consensus with police from the highest level, with the National Commissioner agreeing to that as the measurement of compliance and or functionality. I do also believe, Chairperson, I think it's always a challenge from a bureaucrat's perspective is to get the money to the communities, but to do it in a way that the AG, who's here today, would not, you understand, make any findings. And I believe that the model that we've designed, for instance, for community police forums, that we now have 78% of the community police forums are part of that program, we will then run a similar program with the neighborhood watches on a payment for performance. It initially will be on, as the Act says, in terms of providing the department with information and providing the neighborhood watches with support. But we are also in consultations with the police chairperson to link, for instance, the patrol of the neighborhood watches to the local station commander and so forth. And I may, if just, it's a bit off the point, Chair, but it's important for you to have the bigger picture, is, and the CEO was very conservative or modest in his response to, because the Liquor Authority have over-collected in excess of 10 million rand. And on the fines alone, we have increased the collection by 149%. And that is not fines written, that's fines collected. It's already in the book. So with the Treasury, there is the conversation, because over-collected revenue is retained by the department. And we are now looking at the model to channel some of that money back to the municipalities, and especially the rural municipalities, then to start benefiting from the cost of liquor in the area. Let me also just go very briefly, recommendations. Minister spoke about Khayelitsha, also Khayelitsha recommendation 20 on the use of technology with the police. It's one that we are still a bit, that's difficult to make progress, but the committee is continued to meet, Chairperson, and the next report is due to the committee on progress made. I think the highlight there is that the number of vigilante killings, which were initially from the outset, the objective of the commission is to reduce that. The numbers is that the number of vigilante killings in Khayelitsha have reduced significantly. I'm talking about margins of 50% and more. The latest figures we'll report to the committee with the next report. I think then there was a number of questions of what are we doing to support the police service, and especially on the gangs. Chair, it's not our decision not to have a Western Cape strategy. It is basically a instruction from the national anti-gang strategy that requires provinces not to have a separate strategy, but to have a response that are within the parameters, the design parameters of the national strategy. Remember, Chair, the national strategy was drafted by the National Intelligence Coordinating Committee, and it was adopted by the National Cluster cabinet committee. What we're doing is, I'm chairing the, we have established an interministerial committee chaired by, we have the ministers of community safety, education, social development, and sports, arts and culture part of that committee. We have established that committee. They have met three times and they have now started allocating the budgets as is required in response to the national strategy. We also have the priority committee which I chair. That is made up of the state security agents, crime intelligence, school safety. There are many chairpersons and we also meet monthly and we feed back into the provincial joints. If we look at a program level, what we have done, chairperson, again, a key element of the strategies that you cannot start to effectively reduce gangsterism if you don't have a capable partnership in your community. And that is the work that we do on the CPFs. The police is in full support with the EPP, and we are continuing to roll it out. Tomorrow morning, Advocate Pillay is briefing all the so-called gang station commanders on the projects and on the EPP. Chairperson, then also, of course, we have just signed an agreement with the City of Cape Town for the establishment of 10 safe zones in the gang areas, and that is linked to the EMS safety strategy, and that's a transfer of just over 6.5 million in total, 5 million transferred now, and the remaining as they report and continue. Chairperson, the alcohol, in terms of the question of why we're only in one area, ma'am, you are correct that the Game Changer is focusing mainly on Khayelitsha Town 2. We've installed the 8 additional cameras. We've appointed ex-Chrysalis students now working from the TMC, monitoring those cameras 24 hours a day. But many of the lessons that we learn are expanded to other areas, like the upstream prosecution, chairperson, the license requirements. We have an agreement with the city now. They look at what they call departure on land use, because an absolute barrier exists in some of the communities for outlets to become legal. And the zoning will take too long, but we have an agreement on land departures. Chairperson, yeah, I think that we have answered the questions. If there's anything else, I do apologize for that. I can maybe just also refer you to page 77 of the APP. That is the total number for the youth trained, and it's 1,000. So that also then includes the modular program that we run on that basis.
Thank you, HOD. CEO, would you like to make any additional input?
No, Chair. I think that the HOD has covered most of the questions. Thanks.
Are there a follow-up? Honourable Lekker?
No, thank you, Chair. I appreciate the response from the Department Chair, but I want to take the Department back to Recommendation 12, which says the Department must convene a multi-sectoral team, which is in place at the moment. Drips and drabs of the activities by the department, namely the sub-forum in Khayelitsha, the safe schools priority, and all others are in place. But if you're looking at the instruction, which clearly stated that once the multi-sectoral task team is established, there must be a strategy within 6 months. And in accordance to the report, which is in November last year, that strategy, anti-gang strategy, is not in place in terms of the recommendations of the Khayelitsha Commission. And I would like to know, when is that going to be in place? Because it is stated clearly, within 6 months after the release of the recommendations itself, that strategy must be in place. So what has been the delays, and when are we going to have that actual strategy which deals with specifically the issues of gang violence in Khayelitsha? I thank you, Chair.
Just tagged on to that, I'd like to know whether the police minister has finally signed the MOU with the department on the implementation of the recommendations of the Khayelitsha Commission. Honourable Diana.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I would like to welcome that explanation from OMEC around the rural areas. But I my concern is around Nelspoort. If OMEC is engaging the youth, that my question will be, that engagement in Nelspoort on January, was it a political engagement or was it a for crime? Because there are allegations that says that OMEC has chased away the ANC members and supporters in that meeting. You announced that and said all ANC members must go out in that meeting because it's a DA meeting. Now I want to know, was that engagement politically or was it for crime? Hence also I'm also concerned about the wasteful expenditures, because here you said that you are going to attend to the issues of Central Karoo, in Nelspoort in particular, but there are allegations that says that you chase away the ANC members. Thank you.
Any final follow-ups? That's it. Thank you, Minister.
Let me deal with the last question first. Yes, I did chase the ANC away. That's fact. Because the meeting was not a political meeting. They rock up at the meeting in all their ANC colors, singing ANC slogans, and wanted to make of the meeting a political meeting. Well, I have said we are not there for politics. All my business in the department is non-political, and we don't interfere politics in what we are doing as a department. And we cannot allow any political party to steer any of our programs or any of our projects into a political direction with whatever ulterior motive. So I was quite specific with that. The cluster commanders of SAPS was present, and they support me in that. Because the moment we're going to give in to that, tomorrow you have EFF coming to our events, and you have COPE coming to our events with their slogans and with their political paraphernalia and that sort of thing, and then we will do get a political kind of a color with regard to what we're doing. We need to be very careful about that. I had a meeting with the ANC leadership. I explained it to them, and I said to them, please don't dope my interventions in the community with politics. At each and every one of all my events, we don't display any party's political colors, not even the DA's colors. We refrain from doing that. And I cannot even allow any other political party. They want to enter the meeting, they want to put up their political branding. That is what they wanted to do at the meeting, and I said to them, sorry, it is just one picture with a political party's branding on social media, and then it's trouble, and it's massive investigations. So I could not allow the ANC to do that. The ANC knows why. They know their motive behind that. What is it they wanted to do? And I also said to the ANC leadership, come and see inside. It is mainly the youth. And with their parents, to change their mindsets, to change their behavior and that sort of a thing. And you come and give my meeting a political cloud and a political color. I think the ANC was very wrong in that respect. Whatever they say, they can say whatever they want, even if they give you wrong information as the member of parliament. Everything is recorded. The whole event recorded. What I have said to them is recorded. So that is why I can say forcefully what I'm saying to you now. I did not allow the ANC to dope my event with political colors. And that is what it is. And that is my taking, my party. The DA knows it. Wherever I go, I don't display any Democratic Alliance branding at any of my meetings. But I can understand why they took a chance on the day. It was a test, how far we will go, how far we will allow them, but they did not succeed in that, course I was standing quite firm on that. And Chair, sorry for the lengthy explanation, but I had to put the record on the table and so forth. With regard to some of the other issues, with the anti-gang strategy Honourable Member Lekker referred to, I think we must see it in the comment I've made with regard to what happened in Pretoria on Friday at the MINMEC meeting, and also what Gideon have said with regard to the anti-gang strategy. There's no problem with us having our own provincial anti-gang strategy, but the National Minister's comments in that respect also was very clear. To fight gangs, to fight drugs, is difficult for the provinces to do. It must be a national drive from national government, the support of the National Secretariat of Police, the National Department of Police, and I think also Lieutenant General Sithole, the National Commission of Police, was quite vocal in saying national needs to come and support the provinces in that fight. Because we're missing a couple of things I moan and complain about for a long time, and that is intelligence. We struggle with proper policing intelligence. Police intelligence currently today is almost non-existent countrywide. That is why there's no proper clampdown on organized crime in a manner it should be. It is ineffective. Looking at crime intelligence in the Western Cape even, it is almost non-existent, and Minister Kele have said it. You will pay lots of attention to intelligence to bring it back to where it belongs and to make sure crime intelligence is an effective entity in the police. And that boils down to Khayelitsha in what we're doing, but not Khayelitsha alone. All areas, what happened in Khayelitsha, counts for each and every community out there. Like we support in Khayelitsha, and our drives is in place, our programs and projects is in place, it must be in place in Atlantis, it must be in place in Elsies River as well. Thank you.
Anything to add, Mark?
Chairperson, just on your question of the MOU, no, it hasn't been signed. There's been a change of leadership, as you know. But I think it's important to also mention that the need for the MOU has been overtaken by the fact that in the meantime the Community Safety Act has been fully promulgated. So the access to documents, the access to police stations that form the basis of the MOU, the recommendation of the Commission on the MOU, that has since now by law been bestowed on the Department.
Thank you. Members, I'm now about the... Okay, we've still got the entire budget which needs to be tabled, so
Chair, the Commission of Inquiry stipulated clearly that in accordance to it, there must be a strategy. We all know that the national strategy is not open or accessible to public, members of the public, but in this case, that commission clearly stated that there must be a strategy to deal with gangs in Khayelitsha. And I'm saying this because there are activities which are done by community safety in Khayelitsha and all other areas similarly. But then, Chair, if we begin to say there are recommendations from the Commission of Inquiry which the province has paid a lot of money to it, and that the next day we turn out and not implement it fully, what does that say about us as the department? Because clearly, yeah, there are activities that are taking place, but it's not a strategy that has been formulated by all members of that task team, including the South African Police Service and your SJCs and everyone that is part of that task team. So my question is, Chair, this issue of the memorandum, indeed, once the Community Safety Act is in place, you no longer need the memorandum. So when is that strategy going to be in place instead of the activities that are loosely applied there? I thank you.
No, Chair, I have to apologize. I should have responded to that matter because the question was very clear. So, Chairperson, what we are doing is we continue to run with the joints, as is mentioned. We now have a commitment from all the other heads of departments to assign senior officials to continue with the implementation of it. The national strategy is in place, and we have appointed Professor Don Pinnock then to help us then with the formulation of a provincial response. The due date of that is around about September. That's the date on which it needs to be completed. It will go back to the prof joints, and I can assure the member that the Khayelitsha youth gangs, that was the topic of the Khayelitsha commission, will then be will be addressed through that process as well. So by basically coming back to an answer is that the provincial response, the public document, should be available by the end of around about October.
Thank you, HOD. I'm now tabling the vote for budget before the committee. It runs from page 121 to 162. Pages 151 to 162 are the annexures, which will be tabled in its entirety. So we won't do it page by page for the annexures, but members are most welcome to post questions on the full annexures as per the blue book. Members, are there any questions then on page 121?
I think let me focus, because somehow I will lose focus. My question is on page 122 on the alcohol reduction policy. White paper was approved by Cabinet 2017. I just wanted to know this policy, which has been approved by Cabinet 2017, where public participation conducted in our area, especially in the rural areas. I'm not talking about the metro, because I know that you're always focusing on metro. Now I want to know where public participation conducted. Hence also this policy will guide the department approach to the regulation of alcohol in the province. And also, when will it be implemented? Thank you.
Honourable
Kivida. Thank you, Chair. Also on alcohol reduction. Mine is more focused on the marketing and advertising side of alcohol per se. We have stringent measures regarding tobacco. National Minister made it very clear the other day. I hate tobacco. I hate tobacco. I don't know whether he smokes or not, but he hates tobacco. So we have adverts on television making alcohol looking very attractive. And for me as a teetotaler, sometimes I also feel like having a sip. I'm only teasing. And it's normally youngsters who are also being portrayed in these advertisements. I am just concerned about those young people still falling through the cracks. Falling through the cracks with a bottle of wine in their hand. It's easy for them under 18, so under 16 even, to get alcohol. They are being exposed to it. It is easy to get access to it. What can be done better? I mean, I have great appreciation for what you are doing. Make no mistake. But it's also about looking at perhaps more stringent measures in terms of marketing and advertising. If tobacco has to go off the screens on television, why not alcohol? Thank you. Thank you, Chair.
Any other questions on this page? Right. Thank you.
HOD? chairperson on the public consultations conducted. Of course, there is a legal requirement when you the white paper was published for public comments. We received more than 200 comments. Maybe the CEO can speak a bit more about the public consultations that were held. But on the question also going forward, what's the way forward? Remember, the white paper is simply a policy intention. We now need to go through the process of redoing the Liquor Act. Now, there is a cabinet memo en route to cabinet now, where we will then get a mandate to redo the Liquor Act. And then the issue of adverts and all of that, we will be, in terms of the process prescribed by Parliament, we'll have to come back to this House and debate these issues in much more detail. So what we'll do, Chairperson, just to summarize, we are now getting mandate from Cabinet to start redrafting the Act. The elements discussed in the white paper will then be taken in consideration as we redo the Act. We will then table a bill before this House, and it will be debated, and there will be public hearings and so forth on the way forward. We will also then be guided by this committee on where those public hearings will take place. But the issue of adverts will also then be addressed in that Act. See, on the
Thank you, Chair. Consultation was indeed conducted, I think, just before the end of 2017, if I'm not mistaken, Chair. And there were meetings that were scheduled, and some of those meetings involved stakeholders and some members of the community. As a person who's done a lot of work on public participation, you're always asked, how long is a piece of string? When is public participation really has gone all the mile to engage everybody? And the idea has always been to get to as many people as possible, which is what I thought happened, in the sense that the policy was advertised. I remember we also invited our stakeholders who are engaging the Liquor Authority were invited, and they were taken to the policy, and comments were received, and I was part of that committee that looked at the comments, and as many of the comments that were received were incorporated into the document. The HOD is indeed correct. I think we received about 264 comments, and of those 264 comments, we went through each one of them, you know, in a workshop, and we incorporated as much of what was received as possible. So public participation did take place, and I think when the document is ready for submission to cabinet, I think there should be another process then, which is to try and solicit more comments from the public. I just wanted to speak to the question of advertisements for alcohol. And I just wanted to put the member at ease by saying the proposed amendments to the National Liquor Act are dealing with the issue of advertising drastically. In fact, industry is pushing back because there was a proposal to ban alcohol completely from the TV screens between I think it's 8 in the evening and about 11 in the evening. And if you follow the newspaper articles and so on, the industry is busy now engaging the national minister to look at the financial implications of that decision. In one article I read, they said, if alcohol is completely banned, then it means industry will lose about 164 million rand, and so on and so forth. And apparently the proposed draft amendments were going to be submitted to National Cabinet, but there was an input which was waited for from the Department of Health. So in no time, there's going to be something said around the proposed amendments to the National Liquor Act, which speak directly to the question of advertising, and especially advertising alcohol during the times that the families are watching television. Thank you, Chair.
123.
Is that a question?
Okay.
124.
Honorable Lecker.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, under the civilian secretariat for police, Roman figure 3 reads as follows: provide guidance to community police forum and associated structures to facilitate their proper functioning. and right there, Chairperson. My question is, how is the department going to effect this? Seeing that even in the previous year, if you go to page 126, you will see the implications of the budget. CPFs were not optimally functioned. So can I get maybe a roadmap or a process, a system that the department intends to put in place to ensure that they provide guidance to policing, to CPFs?
Any other questions on page 124? None. Thank you.
Chairperson, again, I think we can announce now also that the Western Cape Police Legal Services, General Mdeki, has just given us a written confirmation that the police now fully agree with the EPP program as the roadmap to take CPFs to full functionality. And that is measuring the CPFs against Section 18 of the Police Services Act. I think it's also important for the committee to know, Chairperson, that although this is in the Secretariat Act, the National Secretariat has not yet recalled the interim regulations on CPS of 2001. So there is still a policy gap as to what constitutes a functional CPF. We've written to National about that, and we are now also then running with the EPP. I can also, in the APP chair, you'll see that we have scheduled 16 consultative workshops. There's an agreement at Prof Joint that those workshops will then also be a conversation between the CPFs, the station commanders, ourselves, and the municipalities on what needs to be done in that municipality or in that area to ensure full functionality of the CPFs. That's page 70 of the APP. You'll see those consultative workshops. Thank you, Chair.
Chair, on that note, I just want to add to what Mr. Morris have said. Yesterday at the meeting with the senior officials, I raised this point, also pertaining to CPFs. CPFs complain they do not receive adequate assistance from the department, but many, many CPFs, even those that lots of complaints, refuse assistance from the department, even monetary assistance for political reasons. And there's many, many CPFs in that category. They do not want to be part of the EPP program because they do not want to accept many monies from a certain political party ruling the Western Cape. And I put that for the record down here for the opposition members also to understand. They must assist us in talking sense into the minds of those CPF for them to change their mindsets, to change their behavior. We try our best to do our work in the name of the Western Cape government and not in the name of a certain political party. And the CPFs complaining about assistance are mainly those CPFs in that category. And it is high time for us to say it as it is. My taking to the senior staff was yesterday. Those CPF that doesn't want to partake, we must leave them. We must align ourselves with CPF that want the necessary assistance. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Minister. 125. 126. If I may start a question there. The first paragraph talks about the establishment of the Western Cape Community Safety Advisory Committee. I'd like to know when that process will be completed, please. And are there any other questions on 126? Honourable Diana?
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, my question is on the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 8. Will it facilitate the implementation of the next approved June 2016? Can the department provide us with full detailed report on next as well as plans for the upcoming year? That's my first question. And then the other one says, facilitate partnership between NHW formations and relevant stakeholders. My question is, who are the stakeholders and how are they going to be of assistance to the department? Those are my two questions. And my last question is to strengthen the partnership agreement between NHW and the department. Can the department provide us with full detailed report on that or to strengthen partnership agreement, please elaborate on this as well as the role each partner will play in ensuring safety at schools. Thank you.
Any other questions on 126? Any other questions? Honourable Lecker, sorry.
Thank you, Chair. Mine is on the youth safety and religion partnership. And I would like to know if there is some form of monitoring and evaluate the role that is played by this religious partnership. Remember, there's money that is invested, and if we're investing money, we must know, and there must be value for money. We must see the end results of us investing money. So is there any form of monitoring and evaluating those religious partners that is in place from the department? I thank you.
Thank you, Jody.
Chairperson, it's a pity Minister just stepped out on the advisory committee. I can now confirm that the advisory committee have been appointed. The Minister will be making an announcement about that during his budget speech. And I can, you understand, we are very excited about the people that we could attract for the advisory committee. Maybe just also very briefly, Chairperson, it's not a question, but I think while we're on the topic, the liquor board has also now been constituted, the new liquor board. They are having the inaugural meeting on Friday. The recommendations of the panel was followed to the letter. There was just one person that withdrew his nomination, and that is Mr. Michael Jones, the current chairperson, and Minister has approved the appointment of Advocate Sidaki as the new chairperson of the Liquor Board. They'll have the inaugural meeting on Friday. Chairperson, then on the question of the implementation of the National Anti-Gang Strategy, it was approved by NICOX in June 2016. It is my information, Chair, that is a restricted document. I can check with them because I know it was discussed at some of the national forums, whether we can then table a copy of the National Strategy maybe in a closed meeting at this, or you understand, Chair, I think it's something that we can then explore, but currently I'm not allowed to give the detail of the strategy, especially Pillar 4 that then speaks to the enforcement and the intelligence. Suffice to say, Chairperson, that there is a weekly meeting with all the station commanders, the so-called gang station commanders. We are part of that meeting, and we are doing our oversight, and we are also then supporting the meeting then with particular projects on that. This facilitates the partnerships between the neighborhood watch formations and other relevant stakeholders. We were not more specific, but we're talking here about especially the private security as envisaged by the Act, where the partnership between the private security, the neighborhood watches, and so needs to continue. And we'll facilitate this, Chairperson, through, you'll see that was one of the the compulsory quarterly engagements where we'll call all the accredited. We now have over 200, Simeon, accredited neighborhood watches, and they'll 200 accredited neighborhood watches, and they'll get together quarterly with the other partnerships. On the one of strengthening partnership agreements with neighborhood watches and the department, I think at the risk of oversimplification, Chair, it's what we said earlier, it's one of those partnerships where we don't want to be the blind date that always forgets its wallet when there's payment to be done. I think strengthening the partnership now also with a formal funding model where we actually start throwing money to the neighborhood watches to make sure that there is compensation and some on that. There is a focus on safe schools. We have piloted in Bloemkohaai, Nelson Mandela, Atlantis. There's a number of pilots where we then basically, for a lack of a better word, but we enter into a formal agreement with the Neighborhood Watch to provide the school with some soft security issues. access control and so forth, and that's what we're talking about there. And then the last one, implementation of the WISE-RP. Chair, we have just undergone a formal evaluation. Firstly, let me answer the question directly, ma'am. Yes, we do set a target of 60% of all the programs are then randomly selected and visited. There's a detailed monitoring report that's produced at the end of the program, and we have just submitted the whole program to an independent evaluation as part of the impact study, and we'll table that report, Chairperson, at this committee also for your information on the findings of the WISE-RP. They just some of the highlights, if I without wasting your time, but they highlighted the issue that this is a program that's mainly drawing the youngsters of 14 years and younger. The older kids are not seemingly very excited about the program, but they did find also, Chairperson, that for the duration of the program, kids were kept off the street, away from antisocial behavior, and in a supervised space where they feel very safe. I think we are very excited about one of the findings, Chairperson, is that they found that the gang members seemingly respected the work done by the religious fraternity, in that none of those were suffering from time down because of gang activities or so. They didn't interfere in any of the programs over the 4 years, and that's something that I believe we need to take note of, that the religious fraternity have a certain standing even in the gang areas, and their space is protected. So to put the kids in that protected space. I think on a negative side, Chair, is of course they are concerned about the only 50 rand that we pay per child, including now it's an 8 hours, so it's only one meal. We need to look at that. But that's something that we need to look at in terms of budget. Do we give a little to many, or do we give a lot to only a few? And that's something we'll take guidance on. In the APP, Chair, we've increased the area of the number of agreements from 40 to 100 this year. So we are going the route of rather a little to many than that you give a lot to only a few. Chair, thank you.
127, Honorable Kivido.
Sorry, Chair, I'm still on 126. I do run out and I mess out. It's on the safety promotion programs. I just hope I'm not out of line or exhibiting my own ignorance here. But I just wanted to know, when did this program start? Who's responsible for it? What does it entail? And what type of outcomes do we have?
Which program? I missed it.
The safety promotion programs. Second paragraph from the bottom. Implementation of safety promotion
programs. And
program.
Then on 127, Honorable
Lecker. Sure. Thank you, Chair. My question is simple. It's just, can we get a list of those programs that talks to specifically the implementation of youth? I mean the implementation of safety promotion, a list of those problems.
And questions for page 127? Honorable Laka, is that a question?
Yes,
okay.
Review the current financial year.
Did you use your mic?
Sorry, my apologies. It's paragraph 4, no? And I want to know how much is the department spending on this review?
Chair, maybe first on the question on the list of programs, we'll make that available to the committee. Of course, when we speak about the emphasis on youth, women and children, it's mainly the activities of the outreach, the chrysalis, the youth work placement and so, but we'll make that information available. The review, ma'am, no, that wasn't a review that we did from a department side. That's just a standing heading in the blue book where we needed to give you a review. So that cost nothing. We did it internally. The experts, CFO, Burford and Maria, they've done that part of it.
Page 128. Just let the HOD finish all the questions and then I'll come to follow.
Okay, I'm finished with those.
Okay, go ahead.
Thank you, Chair. the last paragraph on court watching brief. It says, yeah, they had to go through those dockets and see if there were no problems of police inefficiency. And I just want to check, amongst the dockets that the team worked on, were there any dockets that were withdrawn from court due to a lack of your maybe forensic report, which were not included in the docket? And if that has happened, has there been any engagement with the relevant stakeholders, be it SAPS or the Department of Health, in respect of those reports that were not on the docket?
Chairperson, yes, I can confirm definitely there were many such cases. Advocate Belay may add, but to my information, we monitor just over 3,000 cases. And what we do is, if we then pick up those cases that the member spoke about, it is then referred back to the police in order for them, the investigating officer, then to take the necessary steps. But it's then tracked in terms of placement back onto the court roll. But there were many, ma'am, and we can provide the committee maybe with an overview of the reports and the findings that we've made. Each report is submitted in the APPs. You'll also see that there's a requirement for a quarterly report to go to the police in terms of reporting on the systemic issues that we identify. Because you may find a lab report missing here and there, but if you find 10 or 15 at the same court, then you can actually go and see there's something systemically wrong. And those are the focus.
Yeah, thank you, HOD. Just to add, we also have a monthly meeting with the relevant stakeholders that is chaired by the National Prosecuting Authority. It is the Criminal Proceedings Coordinating Committee. And every quarter, the court watching brief report is also presented at that meeting. And the relevant stakeholders are there, including the prosecutors as well as members of the Department of Health from the Forensics Division. So should there be issues in relation to the specific court, as HUD has mentioned, we then scrutinize that and then have one-on-one meetings with the relevant stakeholders to address the backlog. Thank you.
Okay, final follow-up?
Thank you. Of the 3,000-plus dockets that were struck off the roll due to lab reports that were not there, how many of them have we succeeded to bring them back on the court roll?
Sorry, Chair, I have to correct myself then. I was saying there were 3,000 cases struck off the roll, not all of them because of lab reports. Some of them were witnesses not present because of investigating officers and so on. And we then report, as Advocate Belay said, that to the NPA and to the police. We don't have the exact number of how many were placed back on the roll, but we simply report, and it's then the responsibility, because it's a discretion of the NPA then to consider whether there's merits on placing the matter back or not.
At 128, Honourable Kibido.
Thank you, Chair. Right. The very first paragraph, in terms of the neighbourhood watch structures, one can detect there's a lot of resources going into this initiative, not only in terms of finance, but also in terms of training and other capacitation initiatives. I just wanted to know from HOD whether you get a return on investment. Is there really return on investment or value for money, so to speak, given not about the incompetencies or incapacitation, but because of the high turnover rate of your neighborhood watch members? I know that was always a problem, that they come and go, and they ask for training and retraining and etc. That's the first question. And then on the third paragraph, the newly implemented complaints management system that sits in the office of the Ombudsman, I just wanted to know how many, would you be able to give us some idea of how many complaints up till now, and the type of complaints, what are the nature and also the severity and extent of the complaints, and also the response time in settling these. The last just a statement. I just want to compliment the department on the walking bus project winning gold in the 2017 Provincial Service Excellence Award. I think this is a major achievement, seeing that this project is only running for a little bit more than a year. And also, and I take note of the fact there's a strong M&E mechanism in place also for tracking purposes to gauge success rate of this walking bus initiative. Thank you so much, Chair.
Honourable Diana?
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, my question, I would like to welcome the progress made by the department on the accreditation of e neighborhood watches, because last year in our financial year it was only 20, at least now it's 165. I welcome that. And then on that note of 165 accredited, department provided resources to 135 accredited. Now my question is, what are the reasons for not providing resources to the remaining 30 neighborhood watches? And then my second question on that note of neighborhood watches, the awareness is in rural areas. On page 86 of the APP, there's also on the last paragraph, it says not many applications for accreditation have been forthcoming from rural areas. I also welcome the plans, because the department is saying that they have a plan for creating awareness in those three rural areas. Now on that, I will ask that, hence also the MEC has asked that we must intervene, we must make interventions. I will ask the department to provide us with a list of the program when they are visiting those three regions, Central Karoo, West Coast, and Winelands District, so that we can make interventions and assist the departments with that regards. And also my last question is also welcome the progress of CPFs. It says that 72% have submitted at least one EPP monthly report. To date for this financial year, 2017, department has paid $1.3 million to CPFs participating on the EPP. I would also like the department must provide us with a list of those CPFs which are not taking part, so that we can make our interventions. Because if Beaufort West is there, that means it will be easy to make interventions in Beaufort West. But we will not know which CPFs must we make interventions and who must make those interventions. Thank you.
Chairperson, I'll ask Mr. Simeon George to respond on the matters of the neighborhood watches. Maybe just on the CPFs, gladly we'll make that list available, Chair. Of course, every month there's a new list, as they perform or not. I can give the member the assurance that that list is now also tabled at the prof joints, and that the PC is also from their side. We have the commitment from General Manchi that they will follow it up with all the station commanders so that we get all the CPFs compliant. This year, Chairperson, in the budget, when we get there, we have set aside 3.4 million rand for the CPFs on that basis. On the, Simeon, would you respond to that? Please,
yeah. Maybe around the resourcing, the question specifically around the resourcing and the numbers of neighborhood watch structures that have been accredited. I think here the number just simply speaks to, at the point when the information was provided, those were the number of accredited at the point. So since then, I can confirm that we have now accredited 200 on the dot. Okay, so the 165 has moved up to 200. And at that point, bear in mind that the resource allocation happens once accredited. So although the accreditation may have been allowed, there's a handing over, so to speak, of a certificate, and then also with that certificate goes a kit that will basically set up as a starter kit, and we call it the starter kit. Now in that process there, now there may be slightly more than the 165 accredited already that have gotten their kits, but by within the next like 3 or 4 weeks, we would have 200 who would have received the kits. So there's just an overlap in terms of the numbers depending on when we had the accreditation ceremony, so to speak, which is, is then the handover. As far as the other question that the member refers to in terms of to what extent we're going to be going forward monitoring the actual activities of the neighborhood watches and, as a sense, assessing the value received from them. Bear in mind that the accreditation process already, in a way, requires of the structure to be a functional structure. So once we confirm that they are functional, which means we get the input from SAPS, we get the input from the CPS, then we have an indication that they operate as such, and then we accredit them on the basis of that. So it's existing, running structure, so to speak. But the Act does provide that we will then be gathering information from them, the deployment they have, and developing synergies in terms of deployment with SAPS based on the policing needs and priorities, if we get that at a later point. And then also in terms of the plans, so the safety plans that we develop as a department with the local authorities and with the other agencies in the area, we will then be requiring the neighborhood watches as a credit to form part of them. That will also inform funding or resourcing of those neighborhood watches.
Question on the question of the complaints received. That's, of course, dealt with by the Ombudsman. He recently tabled his annual report, and all the detail is in the annual report. Respectfully request that we don't discuss that from our side then. And then thanks for the kind words on the walking bus project. It's one of those, again, harnessing the volunteerism amongst our communities is definitely a challenge, but one with great rewards. There are hundreds of, well, probably thousands of people willing to give their time to serve their communities. Thanks, Jane.
129, Honourable Lecker and Honourable Mitchell.
No. Chair, let me apologize. I'm mainly in 128, just one question. On paragraph 2, the excess of 1.3 million. Can we get a list of those CPFs and to what was the money paid out for? Just that.
Honourable Mitchell.
Thanks, Chair. Chair, in the last paragraph, under Youth Safety and Religious Partnerships, it says that the program has been expanded, but I want to ask on the MEC focus areas, which are those? Where are those, and how does the MEC put together those areas? And then with regards to the total budget of 2.4 million, is that for the combined youth safety partnership programs, or is it only on the 9,000 youth? So what I'm actually trying to rephrase this. The entire program, is that what is going to the 2.4 million rand, or is the 2.4 million rand just for December?
Honourable Kibida.
Thank you, Chair, to the HOD. This is paragraph 3 from the top, around school safety. Those safe zones in and around 14 priority schools. I just wanted to know whether the department would be so kind as to supply us with a list of those 14 priority schools, if possible. Thank you, Chair.
Chairperson, yes, we'll provide the list of the priority schools. I can also mention that was consulted in the priority safe school committee chaired by Alan Mayer from Department of Education, involving SAPS and the city and all of role players. The question on the budget, 2.4 million, was only for the December chair. There was then also an amount of about 3 million in the June holidays. In this budget for next year, we have earmarked 5.2 million then for the continuation of the program that runs during the school holidays. Advocate Bilay, can you answer the question on the focus areas? Do you have that information?
Through you, HOD and Chair. we can obtain that information and provide it. I think it was 36 areas in total, and most of the areas were in relation to the gang-stricken areas in the property. But we can provide the form.
Right, members, we're going to take a break now, and when we return, we'll start on page 130. There are some refreshments for all participants of this meeting just outside through here in the corridor. Mm-hmm. It's 10:30 now. The meeting will reconvene at 10:45, so in 15 minutes. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Currently 1.9. Yeah, this is still a bit more.
Yeah,
level, the state when they can cancel. Obitrons is a bedrag van 1.9 miljoen. Dus zal je nou, als je het ook nog wel niet op de grond komt. Document wil ik zeggen wie voor een heb.
some of my notes, I think they're all sitting here.
Welcome back. The standing committee will now reconvene. We've had a short recess. We will now recommence on page 130. Are there any questions, members, on page 130? 131, if I may start, under section 6, the accreditation of the neighborhood watches. I'd like to understand, in terms of the Western Cape Community Safety Act, private security is also asked to feed into the integrated safety system. I'd like to understand if they are making use of these provisions in the Act. And if not, if there's been some coordination or meetings or engagement with the private security sector to bring them on board with those particular sections of the Community Safety Act. Any other questions on 131? None. Okay.
Chairperson, we haven't had applications from the private security yet to register in terms of the Community Safety Act, but we have engaged all the security overarching bodies, and we are continuing to engage them. This will be a target, a focus for the year going forward.
Honourable Lekker, follow up? Thank you, Chair. It's not a follow-up. I just want to check, Chair, in respect of the advisory committee, what are the costs of that advisory committee?
Other questions, members? None. All right. Thank you.
Chairperson, we have budgeted R1 million for the year. Of course, the advisory committee will not receive a salary. They only receive a sitting allowance for the time that they sit. We have projected at this stage a meeting once a quarter, but then there will also be specific assignments as per the Act. For instance, again, having the expertise of the advisory committee looking at the provincial response to the anti-gang strategy. But we have set aside on the in the year coming R1 million for that purpose.
132, Honourable Mitchell.
Thank you, Chair. On the top of the page with regard to the alcohol reduction game changer, I just want to ask with regards to the mobilising training neighbourhood watches to support the game changer. How many of these neighbourhood watches have been trained with regards to to the alcohol harms reduction, and in particular was both the West and Central Peru trained and mobilized to support that. If you don't have it now, then fine, just get the list of those.
Any other questions on 132? Honorable Kevido?
Yes, thank you, Chair. Just on the deployment of the task team to the in terms of the water crisis, come day zero, whatever the case may be, I just wanted to know whether any specialized training has been given to these personnel members. And they will also be deployed, I see, at certain identified hospitals, which is a good thing, critical hospitals, and whether the same applies to schools.
Honourable
Lacka? No, thank you, Chair. My only question, Chair, is on the service level agreement that has been agreed on to by the department and the security service provider. Can I be given or perhaps access and see which security providers have been appointed? Thank you.
Some of the questions we can answer, and the rest we'll make available. The only neighborhood watches that have been trained as part of the alcohol harms reduction is in those areas that we're currently running the pilot. Chicago, Paul East, Kailicha, Town 2, Nyanga, and Kukuletu. So those are the only areas that we have trained, Chair, and that was mainly then first aid training and then also training in terms of the so-called house rules. Once we roll out the project with the accredited neighborhood watches, it will become an activity of all the neighborhood watches, but thus far we've only trained those neighborhood watches. I think on the service level agreement, that's with the current security providers in the CBD, and those are the companies, Simeon, can you?
Yeah, in relation to the deployment of...
Could you just use your mic, sorry.
Sorry, in support of the special events, I think the support unit essentially is a unit that is like chosen specifically because of specific competencies that they have within our own staff, of course. And but there has not been over and above training for them specifically. Bear in mind that our limitation when it comes to the issue around water security is going to be to secure those points in the same way that we do current access control. So a lot of that is going to center around that, if I understand the question correctly.
What is the name of the company?
The current CBD contract.
Oh, the contract existing is, I cannot think of it.
Distinctive
Choice is one of them. Yeah. Okay. So, I'm going to provide the three specific companies, but I mean, there are three that in relation to the CBD that we split the contract up.
I may just add, Chairperson, that's a three-year contract, so we assigned that contract 2 years ago. This is the final year. That contract comes to an end the 31st of December this year. So then that contract will be at its end. New normal process will be followed. I think in terms of the school deployments, I can mention, Chair, there was a request from disaster management for static deployments of enforcement at schools. That was discussed at the prop joints, and we were advised by the security expert that experts that won't be possible nor ideal, you understand? So, but the school safety issues are being looked at as part of the bigger planning around the water, the drought plan, and so forth. But there won't be static deployments as on that. Thank you, Chair.
133. Then we move on to 134. If I may start. under conditional grant that very large increase. I know the HOD mentioned in his introductory remarks that there was an increase in the EPWP grant. Is that the only grant covered by this figure, or are there others, and if so, what are the others? And then the second question is the total receipts increases by just under 5%, and we know that there was an above inflation cost of employment increase, so is that sufficient to cover your COE expenses? Any other questions on 134 members? None.
Chairperson, the answer to your first question, it is only the EPWP conditional grant, and as I said in my opening remarks, that is because of the performance of previous years. If you look at that slide, you'll see in 2015, we only got R1 million from National. We are now getting R8 million for that project, so we'll continue to invest time and energy into that project. Chairperson, the salaries have not yet been determined, so we don't know what is the notch in, or this increase, cost to living increase, that will be agreed on by the bargaining chamber. Yes, we have provided for that 4.9%. It is very likely, if we read the environment, the feedback that we get, that it will be more, and that is part of our risk in the outer years on the cost of employment. You'll see also when you look at our financials this year, it is one area that we remain very conservative on, so that we know that we won't be able to, we won't be required to start taking project money away in order to pay salaries. So we have had to plan for the increase, although we don't know the exact figures yet.
135, 136. And if I may pose the first question, and households, is this amount covered? Does this cover a leave gratuity? And if so, you know, it seems to be quite a substantial amount for leave gratuity. So just get an understanding of what's covered under households. I see Honourable Diana.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, under the provinces and municipalities, I see there the decrease. I just need clarity why.
Honourable Lecker.
Thank you, Chair. Mine is on the provincial policing function. Why is there a decrease in funding for program three?
Chairperson, if we... Sorry.
One more question. Honourable Mitchell.
Thanks, Chair. I'm covered with Honourable Laker with that one, Program 3, but also then with regards to the decrease with in the O's. Why is there a decrease with, is it reallocated to different programs or?
I think there's any other questions on this page, members?
Chairperson, I'll ask the technicals also to help me. But on the households, that's the classification of including the EPWP payments to neighbourhood up to CPFs. So under the household, that is covered under... Sorry? Sorry, Chair. Then so the household is made up of the transfer to Chrysalis, which is about, it's R13 million for the year, and then the money paid to the EPP, to the CPFs, that's then classified under households. The transfer to the municipalities is big because of the big transfer we made to the city this year. The 6.5, which included the R3 million we got from the budget of the Premier for the Lavender Hill school safety intervention. So in the outer years, ma'am, we are now back to the transfer of about 3.5 million to the city for maintaining the stabilization and the safe zones. That's the money that will be paid for that purpose.
The reduction on the non-profit institutions, Chair, that's just on it's that's by mainly the YSRP that we've set aside. And the reduction is due to the reduction in the alcohol harms reduction allocation. You'll see, Chair, that's in the budget. There is no allocation for the game changer. But remember, as we spoke earlier about the additional revenue collected, there where there will be a rollover to fund some of this.
Honourable
Letter.
Can you just hold a moment? Would we need
desperately,
we'll have consecutive translations. Could we just get the translator to come forward? Would our Tosa translator please come forward? Thank you, sir. All right, copy there, Honourable Letter.
And go to ndifuna ukuqonda okokubana kutheni le nto inkxasomali esiwa kwi-South African Broadcasting Corporation Limited yehlile kulo nyaka mali.
Ek wil net verstaan die geld wat gegee word aan die South African Broadcasting Corporation, hoekom is dit nou min hierdie jaar?
Other questions on 157? I'd like to understand the transfers to Category A municipalities at City of Cape Town at 4.2 million. Is that for which programs is that? Is that for the school project or the auxiliary offices or both? Under Table 7.5.
Chairperson, the money allocated to the South African Broadcast Corporation is then for the payment of TV licenses. So it is measured on the number of televisions linked to the network that we then allocate that money. On the transfer to the city of Cape Town, that is of course subject to us negotiating a MOU with them, but that money will be used to expand the concept of the safe zones, which is then linked, it's the priority schools that are created as safe zones, and it's linked to the EMS safety strategy. So it will be paid to them in continuing with that program or project.
138,
on the letter. Pepha elikhulu elinamashumi amathathu nesibhozo. Siyabona pha okokubana imali ibonakale inyukile. Ndicela ukubuza ke ukuba ngaba ingaba olunyuko lwemali lwenziwa into yokubana kunyuselwe abasebenzi na. Ukuba ngaba injalo, bangaphi abasebenzi abanyuselweyo futhi beku
when we view on page 138, we see that there's an increase of money that has been done. Now, I want to know why that increase and what positions were these people in that they can receive that increment of money that is reflected on this page.
Is that the 6.82 over the MTF that you're referring to on the page? Okay, so 6.82% over the MTF.
Chairperson, so the increase in the program, that's the first sentence, speaks to the 6.82 increase in the program. And that is then also the increase of the revenue to the Liquor Authority, because that's also under this program, the transfer payment. And then the second part of that sentence then speaks to the full costing of compensation. That is where we've had promotions people applied for the process. They go through the exact same process as an advert, and we now have the post full, and we need to cost them for the whole year. We try and reduce the under spend of COE by staggering or by projecting when post will be filled. And some of them may be for the middle of this year, but next year they have to be budgeted for the full year. And that then makes up the difference in the transfer plan.
139. 140. 141.
On Diana. Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, 141 on table 8.2. The program support, there's a decrease of program support. Why? And then there's an increase, a massive increase on policy and research, safety promotion, and community policy relations. Thank you.
Any other questions on this page? No? Thank you.
Chairperson, the reduction in program support, that is because the program manager, Advocate Yashina Pillay, last year took the responsibility to manage the Game Changer funds as well, so it was put under her budget. This year, the Game Changer funds, the sum of it will go to policy and research, that's the after school, so that's why you see the increase that side. And as I said, the Game Changer, the alcohol one, is not visible in this budget because it will be funded by the over-collection of revenue, which will become visible to the committee in the adjustment budget process.
Page 142, Honourable Mitchell.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, on 142, the goods and services, there's an increase in goods and services on table 8.2.1. We could just get some clarity on that. And then also, no, it's fine.
Honourable Lacker.
Thank you, Chair. My chair is on the NPOs. Can I get some kind of explanation on the decrease in the transfer to NPOs as well as the discontinuation of transfers for social benefits? I thank you.
I'll ask the team also to support. But the first one, the increase there under goods and services, that 36%, that then includes the EPWP payments, the additional money we got for that, as well as the crime summit and the anti-gang money that we spoke about on page one, the additional funds. So that is now reflected in program two under those activities. On the 160 for the non-profit institutions under this one, that was then the transfer made last year for the alcohol harms reduction. That was a transfer made specifically to an organization called VPUU to help us to establish the neighborhood watches. This year, that money is then not continued. The neighborhood watches are now established and they are running, and that's not part of the budget then allocated.
143, Honorable Mitchell.
Okay, thank you. Under expenditure trends, I understand that there's been an increase with regards to the youth religious safety program and a decrease in the youth diversion program. Now, if I can just get some clarity, because according to me, the youth diversion program has got a different outcome than what the youth religious strategy or program would have. So the two doesn't get incorporated, but that's the justification. So if I'm not correct, please assist, but that's my understanding of it.
Any other questions on this page, members?
Yeah, on this one I'm going to phone a friend.
I think I'm going to also phone a friend. But I think in relation to the youth diversion program, that was formerly our program that was run at Volvo Club, and there was a reduction in the allocation, but the finance team can maybe speak about the exact figures. I know in relation to the allocation from provincial treasury that was reduced. The youth safety and religion partnership program is obviously on a separate budget, and that is 5.2 million for the upcoming financial year.
Okay, maybe
is that a follow-up?
Yeah, that's a follow-up. My concern is not... I appreciate the money thing, but my concern is that the outcome of the diversion program is different, or the strategic intent is different to that of the youth religious program. Right? Okay, but the justification for the decrease in the blue book, and I'm now speaking for somebody that picks up this book as a member of the public, the decrease was is justified that because of the increase in the youth religious program at CESTE. So my assumption is
correct. There was a decrease in terms of, like the chief director said, in terms of the funding that was overgrown. So the uptake in terms of the YSRP is where the increase actually came in terms of the specific as well as for Christmas. So that's underlinked in terms of the development of youth. Do you understand?
So the youth diversion that was being done at Bulbercliff is now being done at Chrysalis.
Yes, Chair, remember the reduction in the money that we then speak about, the youth diversion, is still the carry through from the Bulbercliff GBS funding that's come to an end. Treasury then allocated some money on the youth diversion, and that is now reduced on phasing out the Bulbercliff program. On the YSRP, and as with the APP, we have increased the number of areas. It does not take away from the APP target of 1,000 for the chrysalis, and then we're running the chrysalis, what we are now starting, or this year we've done 3-4, what we then camps, where we use the facilities that's available under DDAT, Sports, Arts and Culture. For instance, the Melkbos facility, it is already here. We then recruit from the area. We put the youth through a modular program, and they haven't been taken up on the EPWP, but then the idea is, as we've done with the Bulbercliff, they'll be taken up, and that gives us much more flexibility on where we run the programs. So it can be more rural, it can be, and we then, instead of bringing them to a nodal point, we take the program actually to where we recruit from for the area.
Thank you, Chair. Whilst we are on the diversion program, I hear that the Bulbercliff has been discontinued or is in the process of being discontinued. Can we get to an understanding, or perhaps myself, why is it now being discontinued? Is it because of some systemic failures? Because at some point we thought this was going to be a nice idea for the rural areas, especially with the partnership with those municipalities. So what exactly is happening? Thank you.
Chairperson, bottom line is that the national grant money that we got for Bulbercliff, that has stopped. So that we're no longer getting that. It was about between 12 and 15 million rand per year for the 3 years, and that has now stopped. So maintaining the site is not possible with the budget that we have.
Does that mean, Chair, the department has no interest in the rural areas? Because if this was a beautiful thing to explore, we should be finding money elsewhere and assist those people from the rural areas. How are we going to accommodate somebody from Lutzville and somebody from Maritzburg, if that's the case?
Well, as we said earlier, we'll make available to the committee the recruitment targets that we put
to the Chrysalis Academy. And maybe the committee, because we can report on the recruitment targets for this year, and the recruitment targets for next year is in the process of being negotiated with Chrysalis. And we would gladly get an input then from the committee on those recruitment targets. But then to also say that the modular program, the in-between, remember Chrysalis accommodates at 640, the target is 1,000. The difference is then all earmarked for rural kids then on the modular program that will rotate according to available facilities. It may be at the hook in whatever the existing infrastructure that we can then use for that purpose.
So just for clarity, then the 300 odd additional youth for the modular program, instead of having those youth come to Vorvekloof, you're taking it out to the different rural areas where there are facilities available. Okay.
Lastly, Che, what happened to the infrastructure that was put in place in Vorvekloof? Is the department now leasing those premises to somebody else, or what's going on? Is it just an island?
No, Chair, remember all the property belonged to Public Works. We only used it for that period of time. All the improvements made to the infrastructure is still the property of government and Public Works. I know that they are in conversation with, amongst others, Cape Nature, that are keen to take over the site, but that's not something that we are involved in. We are just in the process of handing over the site back to Public Works, who is the landlord of all government property. The department do not own any property. All of it is owned by Public Works.
Page 144. 145,
146, 147, Honourable Diana. Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, on the transfers and subsidies too, there's a massive decrease, which is 99.84. I need clarity why.
Any other questions on 147? None? Okay.
Samuel, can you answer that question?
It's table 8.4.1, correct, Honourable Diana?
Yeah.
And the transfers and subsidies, that's 2,000 Rand.
In terms of 17-18, we had a project with the safety sits within the city of Cape Town, where we had the ATM project that we ran with him in terms of safety and a specific thing. Simon, if you can elaborate.
We have also... Sorry, in addition to, there were two projects basically with that we ran. One is the ongoing one in terms of the gardens, whereby we supported or funded a specific resourcing model there, and the appointment of a manager to also deploy Chrysalis youth within that project. And then also the other one was an ATM project within the CBD that we have with DDAT. And they're also giving an amount there. So those projects were funded within the existing year, and they're not continuing next year.
Chair, if I may, sorry, for it was a festive season initiative program. We had a report of people being mugged at the ATMs in the CBD area. We then signed an agreement with the City Improvement District, where we deployed some 50 of the Chrysalis students under their control, and they then monitored and advised visitors to the ATMs to be on the lookout for a syndicate that was active in the area. We haven't provided money in our budget for the continuation of the project, but the Department of Economic Development is keen then to fund from their side the continuation, but we can't commit to that yet on that basis.
Okay.
page 148. Honorable Letter.
Thank you, Chair. Can I just get an explanation, Chair, on the decrease in the number of personnel in level 13 to 16 as well as the other, mainly in program 1 and program 3?
Chairperson, yes, during the reporting period we had three resignations from level 13s and we had one resignation on the game changer lead person. So those were the movements in levels 13 to 16. We have now filled the one post, the one level 13. The other two is at interview stage, and the level 14 on the game changer we are not going to fill. We continue with the game changer from internal staff then.
Thank you. What was the nature of the three resignation, if I may ask?
Chairperson, the one resignation program 4 due to retirement age, then one resignation in program 2 because of other prospects, the person assumed duty in another one, and then we lost the services of, again, a director, Mr. Shako, who went back to the Gauteng area. Those were the three resignations. The resignation of the level 14 on the game changer was also then for other career prospects. There's no investigations or anything. It was voluntary resignations.
Right, members, we then, one more page, 149. Are there any questions on page 149? Yes, Honourable Lecker.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to understand the nature of the training that will be undertaken. Can I get an understanding there?
Chairperson, it's a wide range of training, some of it offered by the Comoria Provincial Academy, and that's mainly on your financial systems, LOGIS, BASOL, BAS and so forth, but then there's also developmental programs like management development and so forth, and that's then from the list. We get the list every year from Comoria on the programs that they run. We then go through a process of people having the opportunity to apply to attend the programs in consultation with their managers, and they are then nominated and sent for training according to the available budget.
Is that a follow-up?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's a new question,
Chair. Just use your mic.
Thank you. One is on the interns. Is there any explanation why the interns recruited in this department is decreased? And the second one, Chair, is on the payments on training by program. Can get an explanation why the decrease there in 4.2 and 4.4.
Any other questions on 149?
Chairperson, the number of interns, if I understand the question correctly, why is there a reduction in the number of interns? It is basically based on organizational needs, Chairperson, and then also available budget. But that number fluctuates all the time. It's also, we do get a lot of the interns that will then basically take up a permanent position or something similar on that. CFO, can you maybe respond to that?
On the payment that's made for training, it's really just based on our commitments in terms of bursaries. I was allocated over the MTF, so if you study for year 1, 2 and 3, and also the availability for any new updates. So that's how it's allocated for the year.
Right. Members,
I'll
now table the annexures combined. And that's page 150 to 162. Please feel free to ask questions on the annexures if you just indicate which page you're on. Honourable Mitchell.
Chair, my first question is relates to pages 151, 152, 153, 154, 155, 156. 155, because all everywhere it's bursaries, employees. So, firstly, let me welcome that there's an increase across for bursary and for providing for the staff. I think it's a good thing for. However, Chair, could we get a list, and if you don't have it now, of all the levels of the recipients of these bursaries across the table. And then, Chair, with regards to the 158, 159, 156, 160, 161, all with relating to the Central Karoo municipalities, there's a particular increase in the town of Prince Albert. First, again, I welcome the Central Karoo allocation, but I just want to get some clarity why in every program there's a significant increase in Prince Albert in particular.
Chairperson, so we'll provide the list of bursaries just to also give the assurance that we do stay within the limits that's allocated for staff development. We'll provide that list to you. On the Eden District or the Prince Albert, the money that you... Sorry, I stand corrected, Chair, the Central Karoo District. The increase there is then linked to the performance of the CPF on the EPP. So that's then money transferred that you'll see for each of the areas. We have now quantified and enlisted the payments made. And the main contributor there will be the functionality of the CPF.
In terms of EPWP, the people that come from the EPWP projects.
So kids that are recruited from the area taken to put on the EPWP, that's also in the SJ. So those are the two payments that will drive these figures. Yes.
Okay, yes, another side. How do you follow up on this?
So the EPWP is for the actual student from that particular area, and then the other one is for the functionality
of the CPF, the EPP.
EPP and EPWP.
Sorry, I make a spelling error every now and then.
Honourable Mecca.
And also plan of Indy. Okay. I just want to understand from page 150, sales of goods and services. Can I get an explanation on why there's a decrease there? Also on specification of receipts, which says other sales, also why the decrease there. Summary of payments, page 151, again, explain why the increase in operating payments. Then, table 82, the summary of payment, why the decrease in the municipal agents and fees. And then, under administrative fees, please explain the increase in the administrative fees and advertising.
Yeah, I'll pause for now. And that's all on table A2. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do we need a
repeat of
the question?
Okay, so Honourable Lecker, so table 8.2, the first question is on administrative fees under goods and services. Then the second question is, Honourable Lecker, help me here, on...
Sure. One
is the summary of payments. Yeah, that's the table.
151.
And
the second one is the difference to municipal fees and funds.
And the transfers and subsidies.
Yes.
Okay.
And then the administrative fees that is called over.
Yeah.
And then consultants. And lastly, the caterer, departmental activities. Can I get an explanation of the 32.27% increase?
Under consultants?
Consultants is what?
Consultants and professional services? Anything else on 151? So it's the administrative fees and the municipal agencies and funds. Yep, on page 151. Okay, and then we move over to 152, which is table 8.2.1. And under there, again, administrative fees.
Consultants and professionals.
The decrease.
Yes. Why is there 100% in funding for this IT? And then my last one.
And then a decrease in the legal costs, okay?
And then the last one is on page 153, table 8.2 on the catering.
Catering, what is the question about catering?
Why is there an increase of 44.27%?
Okay, got it? Okay, so we'll go then our back to start with page 151, table 8.2.
Chairperson, under the administration fees, you'll see that carry through the whole budget, and that is then the fees that we pay banking fees, the banking cost. It's then programmed under the programs, as well as the agency fee that we pay for the travel agents. When they make bookings on your behalf, they charge an agency fee. So it's mainly banking costs and then the agency fee. I think in terms of the consultant and professional services, and that's now program one, if I understand the correction, the legal costs, it just depend on if there's any anticipated losses or any challenges there. We have none on our books now, so we haven't provided. If there's something then coming up, then in the adjustment budget we'll direct funds to that activity. So you'll see that is always driven by actual expenses. It's not projected or anticipated. I think the increase on the catering for program two, that is then driven by those 16 consultative workshops that we spoke about, where we'll have the CPFs and the police and so on in a two-day workshop to discuss the functionality and the link with neighborhood watches and so forth. And then also I'm reminded that includes about 700,000 Rand for the catering of the safety summit. It's just projection. It will be determined later on once we get to the final quotations and so forth.
Were your questions covered, Honourable Lecker? Any other, Honourable Diana?
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, on page 151, my question is on the rental and hiring. There's a massive increase there. What are the reasons for that? It's page 151, table 8.2. And then the second one, 151, training and development, 152, training and development, there's a massive increment of 107.46. And then 153, rental and hiring, 900. Why? And let me check on 154 if I've got a question. I don't have a question there. And then page 155. I see operating payments. There's also there 371.64 increase. A massive one also. Why? And then the other question is on page 158. I also welcome the issue of Prince Albert, but my question is on Elandsberg and Beaufort West. Why they got a so low a budget? If you are talking about EPP and EPWP in the Prince Albert, why does it also imply in Beaufort West and Elandsberg? And then the last question is on the Drakenstein 159. I saw there that.
Sorry, they're on the same page?
159. Drakenstein. Why must this increase in Drakenstein municipality? Thank you.
The questions, please. On the page 152.
So the first 151,
yes,
on the rental and hiring.
Yeah, that's then for the renting of venues when we have the public meetings. For instance, the coordinating meetings with the walking buses, or then when we speak about these 16 consultative workshops, that's then renting the local community hall or so on. And that drives the cost there. On the page 152, that increase under training and development, that is because that in the past, chairperson, the Comaria costs were carried by DOTP. Now departments must pay for the programs that we send our staff to. So when you look at training and development, that will demo, that will show right across the programs that we are budgeting for that specifically. CFO, can you help now where we are?
On 153, the question is again rental and hiring.
Chair, then that would be the same answer because that's now carried through to each of the programs. Sorry for that one.
The next one is 155, operating payments.
I may just unsay, Chairperson, on 153, that spike in renting and hiring is again linked to the summit. That's the million or the money there. Sorry, Chair, then 154.
Nothing on 154,
but on 155, the question posed by Honorable Diana
with respect to operating payments at the bottom of the table.
Should I see
if
please?
That's with 177 to 198. That's for printing of the training manual for the neighborhood watches.
It's from 67,000 to 316,000. Okay, covered there. And then there was a question then on 158.
Chairperson, the Drakenstein, that's because of the programs we're running in Drakenstein that's linked to the Game Changer still, and also to the RCEP VPUU area. Remember, Drakenstein is an earmarked VPUU RCEP intervention, and that is done within the PSG3 environment. It's combined with departments of social development, health, and ourselves, and as well as sports, arts, and culture.
Right. Any other questions on annexes?
The lens back and your photos. Page 158.
158.
Just repeat the question.
My question is, I welcome Ephraim Salvat with that increment, but my question is on Ipiofotos and Elaine's back. Hence, they are also from Central Karoo. Why their budget is so low? Because in the Prince Albert, the explanation was about the EPWP and EPP. Why it does not imply also in those two municipalities, Ipiofotos and Elaine's back?
Chairperson, again, I think it will require a further conversation. Once we table the recruitment requirements or the recruitment targets, as well as the performance of the CPFs in those areas, I think then we are able. I have now received the detailed list of the payments made to the CPFs, amounting, Chair, to the final figure that we now have is 1.8 million. That we've paid in the financial year. It was 1.5 year. It is now 1.3. It's now up to 1.5. And these are then the actual payments made. We'll table that for the attention of the committee on that. So.
Thank you for tabling that, HID. We'll make sure that the members get a copy of it as requested, and we can scratch that then from our recommendations.
But it's really, as I said, it's driven by the functionality of the activities and then, of course, the youth that we recruit, but we take note of the point range.
Any other questions on the annexes? Thank you very much, members, for posing all your questions and for your preparation. I'm now going to ask if the members of the public have any questions that they would like to pose to the department, or whether there are any submissions. Any questions or submissions to the department? None. Okay. Thank you. That then brings
HOD?
If I can just in the record, we have the list of the areas. That was the question of the so-called MEC areas. So we have a list of all the areas for the YSRP that we wish to respectfully table now. And then also the recruitment targets for Chrysalis chairperson. Here's a copy of the current transfer payment agreement, setting out the detail of the recruitment targets, and then also the draft for this year, but also then make it clear that there is definitely still time then to have a conversation about those recruitment targets that we state to the department, to Chrysalis. And then lastly is also just the payment on the CPFs in terms of matching grants and neighborhood watch deployments as well. So, Chairperson, that all of those documents were asked for and we were lucky to source them in time.
Brilliant. Thank you very much. It means our list of requests will be much shorter.
Thank you, Chair. That helps us a lot.
All right. Thank you very much to the department and to the liquor authority for answering all our questions and for being accountable to Parliament this morning. We're very grateful for your input. There is a lunch that will be served in the members' lounge at 12:30, which you're all most welcome to enjoy. The public section of our meeting then comes to an end, and the members will stay behind for our internal deliberations and recommendations. Thank you very much to our interpretation services as well for your assistance this morning. During the meeting. Some of those requests may no longer be relevant as we've received the documents.
Thank you, Chairperson. There was a list of requests. First, there's a breakdown of the number of youth supported.
Everything